Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 595. I'm Amy Matheny, and it is very exciting here. The ever-changing landscape of marriage equality across this great land of ours. The Supreme Court refused to hear cases, and immediately five more states were added to the states that... that people, gay and lesbian people, can now get married. And it's very, very exciting. And I'm going to botch talking about it entirely because my legalese is not good. So I've invited an expert, my good friend Jim Bennett from Land Illegal here in Chicago. He's been on the front lines and been on our show a number of times. And he's going to give us a marriage update today. But very exciting things that are happening in states as close to us as Indiana and Wisconsin, and things happening in Nevada and Idaho, which has been kind of a mess, but is all turning out for the good, and many, many others soon to come around and be on the right side of this issue. So it's a whole show about marriage equality. Plus, there's lots of else going on in the news. It feels like our news stories, they're just chock full these days. And one news story that I will let you know, because it's hot off the presses, I'm recording this. Amazon Prime has announced that they have green lit a second season of Transparent. So thank you for all your wonderful comments to our last show with Alexandra Billings, who plays Davina on Transparent. And if you've not watched this show, you're going to want to start watching it. Get that Amazon Prime membership, as I told you last week. So we're going to hold a show with Mitchell Fain for this very breaking news story on marriage equality. But see how you can be a part of it. You know, if you have any $10, $25, $50, $100 you can give to Lambda Legal these days, or an organization fighting for marriage equality, they are working hard, and it is happening fast, folks. And it's not happening just by osmosis. It's happening by actions being taken by these people who've been at this for many, many decades now. So, gosh, that makes me feel old. Anyhow, it's a show on marriage equality, an update with Jim Bennett from Lambda Legal. Stay with me, and now here's the news.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. The Advocate has come up with its list of the 50 most influential LGBT individuals working in mainstream media. MSNBC's Rachel Maddow and TMZ creator slash managing editor Harvey Levin tied for the top spot, with Good Morning America's Robin Roberts, CNN's Anderson Cooper, and The Intercept editor Glenn Greenwald completing the top five.
LGBT Catholics and their supporters in seven U.S. cities, including Chicago, will pray the rosary and hold vigils as part of a national effort to send a message of acceptance during a bishop's meeting with Pope Francis through October 19th. The two-week faith sojourn, Pray, Listen, Discern, Raising the Voices of LGBT Catholics, is scheduled to coincide with the Vatican's Extraordinary Synod, a gathering of 150 Catholic Church leaders in Rome to consider family issues and challenges facing the Church.
A Williams Institute study has revealed that the number of same-sex married couples in the United States increased by 50% between 2010 and 2013. At the end of 2013, there were approximately 690,000 same-sex couples in the country, of which at least 125,000 or more were married.
Larissa Snyder, a transgender woman from Evanston, Wyoming, recently secured a Democratic nomination to run for that state's House of Representatives. In the Republican-dominated state, Snyder will be vying in the upcoming midterm election, running against a Republican incumbent. Trans candidates are running in major and minor elections across the country, including Republican nominee Lauren Scott, who's running for the Nevada General Assembly.
Illinois Safe Schools Alliance is working on a transgender rights policy with Chicago Public Schools. The organization, which promotes safety, support, and healthy development for LGBT students, is drafting a model policy with CPS with thought of implementing in school districts across the state.
Minnesota's largest newspaper is coming under fire for the decision to publish a full-page anti-transgender ad from the Minnesota Child Protection League. The league's ad is reportedly an effort to help stop the Minnesota State High School League from adopting an inclusive policy for transgender athletes.
Surveillance video has been released in the fatal shooting of transgender woman Ania Parker in East Hollywood, California. In the video, Parker is seen turning around after two to four suspects say something, then surround her underneath a tree. One suddenly throws a punch and Parker runs off. That's when one suspect fires a single shot, hitting her in the head. Anyone with information should contact the Los Angeles Police Department.
A Maryland law that bans anti-transgender discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations has taken effect. Governor Martin O'Malley signed the law in May.
The Chicago Transit Authority, or CTA, is completing training on gender identity and sexual orientation discrimination that the city's Commission on Human Relations mandated in 2010. The training began in May with more than 500 CTA managers taking part in a two-hour in-person training session. In addition, more than 10,000 frontline workers, including train operators and bus drivers, will be required to watch a one-hour training video aimed at educating workers on gender identity and sexual orientation discrimination.
In Philadelphia, City Council members Blondell Reynolds Brown and James Kenney introduced legislation that would extend punishment for hate crimes to LGBT people. The bill would add a new chapter to the Philadelphia Code to provide additional penalties for hate crimes based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and disabilities as defined in the city's Fair Practices Ordinance. The measure was introduced in direct response to the gay bashing incident that took place September 11th.
In world news, the City Council of Quezon City, the Philippines' largest city, has approved an ordinance banning anti-LGBTI discrimination. The law was passed unanimously by more than 30 city councilors after a marathon 8-hour session. The law extended a 2003 resolution banning discrimination of LGBTI people in employment, to education, delivery of goods or services, and access to accommodation.
Denmark celebrated 25 years since it became the first country in the world to provide legal recognition of same-sex relationships. On October 1st, 1989, the first 11 Danish same-sex couples were wed through civil ceremonies at the Copenhagen Town Hall. Celebrations were held in Copenhagen to mark that anniversary, and a special exhibition was opened yesterday at the city's town hall.
Kyrgyzstan's gay propaganda bill, which prides itself on being stricter than Russia's, is closer than ever to becoming law. A parliamentary committee has approved the language of the draft legislation. It will now be sent to Parliament. Unlike Russia's bill, which only fines the guilty, Kyrgyzstan's will punish people who propagate homosexual relations by up to 1 year in jail.
Seven people have been arrested on homosexuality-related charges after police raided a house in Cameroon's capital. The police arrested the men after smashing down the door and discovering men engaged in prostitution and homosexual acts. The anonymous owner and fellow participant of the house escaped via the roof of the house and subsequently avoided arrest.
In entertainment news, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga's acclaimed jazz album debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 album charts, the jazz album and traditional jazz album charts. With the release of Cheek to Cheek, Bennett breaks his own record set in 2011 when Duets 2 debuted at number one at the age of 85. And this marks Gaga's third top-selling CD in just more than 3 years.
For the first time, GLAAD's Network Responsibility Index, which rates LGBT content in media, awarded three different networks excellent grades in the same year: ABC Family, HBO, and MTV. And the number of LGBT regular characters in the 2014-2015 season has grown to 3.9% from 3.3% last year.
American Horror Story and Glee producer Ryan Murphy has welcomed his second child with partner David Miller. Murphy and Miller were married in Provincetown in July of 2012.
Anne Murphy and the FX Network are expanding the American Horror Story franchise with another anthology series, this time focused on some of the biggest true crime stories ever. The new series, American Crime Story, is launching with one of the most famous cases in the past few decades, the murder trial of O.J. Simpson.
Monique, who won an Oscar for the movie Precious, is now winning raves for the movie Blackbird, a film that tackles homosexuality, religion, and family in a southern town. Monique portrays the mother of a gay teen, with Isaiah Washington as the father.
Former child star Raven Simone of That's So Raven and The Cosby Show sat down with Oprah Winfrey to chat about her life in and out of the spotlight. She also talked about her sexuality, saying, "I don't want to be labeled as gay. I want to be labeled as a human who loves humans."
Fans of the E! Reality series, hashtag Rich Kids of Beverly Hills, will be seeing a lot less of E.J. Johnson, the openly gay son of basketball icon Irvin Magic Johnson, next season. Johnson has shed 50 pounds after undergoing gastric sleeve surgery.
Jenna Wolf has been named the first ever Today Show lifestyle and fitness correspondent. She will also serve as an NBC News national correspondent. Wolf is expecting her second child in February with her partner, NBC News correspondent Stephanie Gosk.
And only a week after the shocking third season finale of Dallas, the TNT network has opted not to renew the series for a fourth season. The show was a reboot of CBS's hugely successful 1980s primetime soap. And that's the Week in News, brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hey, Chicago, it's Adina Menzel, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 13th, 2014, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Check out Season on the Line from the House Theater of Chicago. All of you that have ever made theater, fallen in love with an artist, or tried to read Moby Dick, this meta-adaptation of Melville's epic will harpoon your heart. Get tickets and more for Season on the Line at thehousetheater.com.
The family of a Wall Street criminal faces the fallout of public scandal and guilt by association in The Commons of Pensacola, a new drama by actress-turned-playwright Amanda Peet. Hailed by the New York Times as rich and absorbing, laced with biting humor, this funny and incisive debut has its Midwest premiere at Northlight Theater. Must close October 19th. Visit northlight.org.
Meet two of the greatest minds in history, a battle of intellects and egos, in the Writers Theater's Midwest premiere of Isaac's Eye. Playwright Lucas Nace introduces a young Isaac Newton to the great Robert Hooke, the most important scientist in Britain at the time. Don't miss Isaac's Eye at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from Chicago on the Edens or Metra. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
Chicago Shakespeare's King Lear is your chance to see acclaimed actor Larry Yando in the role of a lifetime. The Chicago Tribune declares his performance is a tour de force, the highlight of a career. And the Sun-Times raves Lear is highly recommended. Running through November 9th. For tickets, visit chicagoshakes.com.
Now playing at Timeline Theater is the political conspiracy thriller Danny Casolaro Died for You. Based on true events, it tracks the real-life Danny as he works to uncover high-level government corruption. Don't miss the Chicago premiere running through December 21st. Visit TimelineTheater.com.
On December 4th, 1956, Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Relive that night with the smash rock and roll hit musical Million Dollar Quartet, now playing at the Apollo Theater.
Jeff Talbot's award-winning new play, The Submission, is a hilarious and fierce look at race and gender. You have probably said these words in private, but Talbot lays it on the line in this new offering from Pride Films and Plays. Visit brownpapertickets.com. The Submission is at Apollo Studio Theater, 2450 North Lincoln Avenue.
Porchlight Music Theater presents Stephen Sondheim's brilliant and bloody thrill ride, Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street, the first production in their season of Sondheim at Stage 773. For tickets, visit porchlightmusictheater.org, playing now through November 9th.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com.
I stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many dates. But I can't make them stay. At least that's what people say. That's what people say.
Well, marriage equality is spreading across the U.S. like a wildfire. Literally. I mean, just it seems like just days ago we were at 24 states, then 25, then we jumped to 30, 35. I mean, we're on it. We're on a move is what's happening. And it's hard to believe that less than a year ago, on November 20th, 2013, Illinois became the 16th state. And now we have doubled that number practically. So I am here for an update, of course, with our fabulous Jim Bennett from Lambda Legal to tell us, like, what is going on? This is really happening. And is it happening faster than we all thought, Jim? What's the verdict from those of you in the know?
I think it is. Well, the decision on Monday for the Supreme Court to deny the review of the 4th, 7th, and 10th circuits, positive marriage equality rulings was certainly a surprise, I think, for everyone. We all expected them to take one or some or all of those cases, and then we would be, you know, gearing up for this giant Supreme Court case.
Yeah. So, well, in the five states that were in question, because there was the option here with the Supreme Court coming back to term that they could review each state individually. Is that what you're saying?
Our expectation was, so they had seven cases before them, okay, that were up for review. So from Lambda, we had submitted Indiana and we had Virginia.
Okay.
And then the other ones, I believe, are represented by ACLU, NCLR, with okay, the Utah case. And then there was, I believe, a private attorney in one of the cases.
Yeah, so and Wisconsin and Oklahoma were the other two of those five, right?
Exactly. And so the seven cases represented Indiana, Oklahoma, Virginia, Utah, and Wisconsin.
Okay.
And so the thinking was that they have all these cases, and they pick one of the cases that they think, you know, best represents the issue, or, you know, for whatever reason, that's the one they take. And they, and then they would have, a giant case that would, you know, we believed would represent or make the decision to have marriage in all 50 states. Mm-hmm. And both sides were pushing for that, you know, our opposition as well, just wanting the Supreme Court sort of to clean this up. And so what they did was they denied review of all those cases. And by denying review, that means that the lower court's decision stands. So that's what brought on those five states, and that's why they immediately began doing marriage, because the court said, we're not going to review this, we're not taking this case, which was very unexpected. And so marriages can begin immediately. But what it also does is it covers the other states that are in those circuits that also do not have marriage. So, for example, in Illinois, in the Seventh Circuit, which we're in, our other states already had marriage. And so that's why it only affected Indiana and Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But the states that we're watching now, and some have already fallen or are very close to, are Colorado, Kansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And there, the federal district courts are obligated to follow the rulings of their circuits. So, for example, in Colorado, the state has already asked the court to lift their stay and allow marriages to proceed, and so we expect that to happen soon. We filed a motion, Lambda did, with the federal district court in West Virginia, where our case is, asking them to lift the stay and grant judgment in our favor, and we expect that to happen very shortly. The judge hearing the North Carolina case issued an order stating that it looked like the Fourth Circuit decision was binding on his state. He's asked for briefs in 10 days, and we believe that's going to move forward. And then in Kansas and Wyoming, those cases are in state court. So they're not bound, but it likely means that federal cases are going to be filed soon in those states. And I know an ACLU of Kansas, they've already announced that they're preparing to file a case. So wow. It's almost impossible to overstate just how big this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, certainly to have these victories, these five victories right away to start. And, you know, we had seven different press releases at Lambda drafted based on every possible outcome that we thought could happen. So we had, you know, our tweets and our Facebook posts and the little images and everything ready, and none of them were ready for what happened on Monday. So it was quite a great day.
So so where do we stand now? I mean, we're recording this at the end of the week. The show will come out on the weekend, but where do we stand now? I mean, how many states right now are couples lining up to get married?
So we have 32 states, I believe, mm-hmm. that are now either having marriage or marriage is imminent. And the Ninth Circuit, which was Lambda Legal's Nevada case, along with the case from Idaho, that decision came down. And so Nevada, we expect to start marriages today. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that was a messy case, right? I mean, this Nevada and Idaho has been a bit of a flip, a flop, right? Is it Nevada? Nevada's the state that announced it and then pulled it and then announced it and then pulled it. Is that right?
It is. And it was, they really were doing the right thing. So the Ninth Circuit ruled, and then Idaho filed for a stay with the U.S. Supreme Court, saying that they wanted to still see their case through. So Nevada had already begun preparing for marriage, and initially Justice Kennedy had granted the stay and had included Nevada, which was a surprise to us. And by the end of the day yesterday, he had cleared it up and said that it did not apply to Nevada. It was just sort of wrapping up the case with Idaho. So Nevada is now clear to begin marriage, and as far as we can tell, they're moving forward, and I would expect that, you know, no later than the end of the week. And then And Idaho, you know, although their marriage is maybe delayed a little bit, I would think that that's going to be happening soon, because the Ninth Circuit, which was a unanimous decision, was in favor. It covers Idaho as well as Nevada. So, I guess to get back to your question, we continue to wait for decisions from the Sixth Circuit. And so that includes Ohio, which is a Lambda Legal case, along with ACLU. And then that also includes the cases that are in Michigan, Kentucky, your home state of Tennessee, another Ohio case. And so that decision has not yet come down. And then there's the Fifth Circuit, which is Louisiana, and Lambda we just joined that case there. And there's efforts to continue to win marriage equality at the trial courts in different places, which include Arizona, Georgia, North Dakota, Puerto Rico, Texas, and West Virginia. So the it's moving fast. I think what we expect now is probably when the dust settles, we'll have somewhere around 32 to 35 states that have marriage, and then. You know, the thinking is we'll get a negative decision, perhaps from one of these other circuits, and then that will be the case. Then it will go to the Supreme Court, and they'll need to they'll likely need to take up that case to be able to begin marriage. Because if they deny those cases, if we got a negative decision, which so far has not happened, then we would. Then if the court was not to take that, it would continue this patchwork of disparity. But I would not expect that to happen. And we're hopeful, or at least we believe, that by not taking these cases and by saying that for every case that's before them, that there is no justifiable reason not to begin marriage in those states and to have those states begin marriages, that's a signal to these lower courts that this is the thinking of the Supreme Court. And it's possible that those other district courts could decide that they've already gotten the direction they need from the U.S. Supreme Court, and they go in our favor, but time will tell.
Do you think that as somebody in the middle of all of this, because I think from looking at it from the outside, if I can make myself not even a journalist, but just a layman or laywoman, it feels a little like the Supreme Court is just passing the buck. Like they are just making everybody else have to go into this area, all these areas of chaos. And I mean, why don't they just declare this? Like, why don't they just make a ruling so we don't have to have so many people caught up in, you know, the financial legal wars that are going on when it all seems to be moot? I don't quite understand.
Yeah, it's hard, and I can't say I have the answer for that either. I mean, there was, interestingly, there had been a comment from Justice Ginsburg, who, we know to be, progressive and on our side on this issue. But she was also one of the justices who in the past has talked about Roe v. Wade, and there's sometimes comparisons to Roe v. Wade and the fight for marriage nationwide, and that you don't want to move too fast or too far ahead of public opinion. And there's a sense that, especially on our marriage issue now, that opinion is moving so quickly in our direction, that if the Supreme Court does not have to weigh in and they can allow the public to catch up with this, you diminish the potential for a backlash later, and you have more sort of you're winning hearts and minds at the same time that you're winning these rights. Right. But I think, interestingly, like for us, when we got the Indiana decision, it was a really powerful decision from the Seventh Circuit here, and Judge Posner, who is a Reagan appointee, had just incredibly powerful. He really destroyed the arguments from the opposition. And so one of the things, but there was a couple in the Indiana case, their names are Nikki and Amy, and Nikki has stage 4 cancer, and the harms to her were really painful. Like she, She was having to cross state lines to get her chemotherapy because she wasn't able to get it in Indiana. She didn't have her marriage recognized. And so some of the thinking, or one theory, I guess, is that when the justices had cases like Indiana in front of them, where you see this isn't just waiting it out on a tax issue, this is a life or death issue, you know, where you're going for your chemotherapy, being able to take care of your children, the ability to get a death certificate when that time comes, so that the family have the rights and protections they need, that this was not something that could wait. And so instead of waiting for a case that was a negative decision and then the Supreme Court steps in and tries to break that tie, they may have decided we don't have time for that. That the people that we see before us and that are represented in these cases, we need to provide it now. Yeah. And you know, and there's also a theory that maybe everyone decides the right way and it never has to elevate to the Supreme Court. And that would be pretty extraordinary if that was to happen. I'd have to say I'd be pretty surprised.
Yeah. I think my own state alone will hold out till the very end. You know,
I think you're right.
I wonder if Tennessee may not be the one that goes to the Supreme Court, honestly, just because they've been so in the news, you know, and I got to say, it's a state filled with homos, so they should really, they should really look to the right and left.
Right? I know. So, I mean, it would have been fantastic if they would have taken one or all of these cases and decided this issue, all at once. But, you know, again, though, then we wouldn't have had a victory until the end of June in 2015. And right now, to be able to move where now we're close to 65% of the American population are in states that embrace marriage equality, and it's going to continue. I mean, none of us have ever seen an issue move like this. And certainly for Lambda Legal, although we've had incredible sort of watershed moments, you know, like winning the Lawrence decision that's struck down the anti-sodomy laws in the remaining 13 states and sort of laid the groundwork for all of this to happen. We've never had anything where you are watching victories happen, you know, from really beginning last June when they made their decision, first legislatively and in the courts, and then it just felt like every week you were watching another one of these bans overturned.
Yeah.
And then to get this decision on Monday and have thousands of people, and for the first time in really bright red states, experiencing marriage equality, I don't think I would have expected it in Utah or Oklahoma.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
In my lifetime, and so it's quite beautiful, you know. I mean, but we're certainly in uncharted territory.
Yeah, well, and I wonder, you know, we go back and we laugh about Bill Clinton being the first black president, and I'm wondering if Obama's going to be the first gay president, because, you know, when history looks back on his time in the White House, I mean, the laws and protections that have come to LGBT people under this administration have been immense and very compact, you know, in a handful of years. In a way that's fairly profound for its impact. And I'm just, you know, I wonder, you know, what history will reflect, but I think it may reflect just that.
Well, I think it'll reflect very well on him. He could very well be our first straight gay president, because I mean, what's so painful in some ways is we've watched so many other civil rights issues move backward. I mean, you look at the Hobby Lobby decision by the Supreme Court that has limited the ability for women to get, their contraceptives and sort of a respective reproductive rights. We watched the obliteration of the Voting Rights Act, and so we've watched these really odd steps backward. But for the LGBT community, and it certainly feels like that, not just in marriage, but we've watched open players in the NBA and NFL come out, so there's sort of a society change. We've watched our transgender brothers and sisters move forward in unprecedented ways, both in legal protections and in in, you know, whether it's Laverne Cox or many of the other people that are really in the front of this issue, whether it's entertainment or news, it's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, and also the military. I mean, I think, you know, when we have these, whether we say conservative or traditional or fundamental institutions, you know, like the military, that change, you know, we're not as surprised when we see, you know, back in the spring that, you know, a poll says 55% of Americans in the spring, you know, thought marriage equality should be the law of the land. And, you know, I bet that number has increased. I bet that number is higher. It'll be really interesting to see at the end of the year if another public opinion poll comes out or in the early 2015, if that number has increased, because I bet it will.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see where things are at, because the other thing, certainly for all of our organizations that are in this fight, you know, we are also in tune with what is the potential for a backlash in this, and that could end up being our work, you know, for the next generation, because, you know, in some of the states, you know, we saw it almost happen in Arizona, where there was going to be these laws that provided exemptions for people based on their deeply held religious beliefs.
Right.
And, you know, just because you have a deeply held religious belief does not give you a right to discriminate against someone else.
Right.
And so those are laws that we're going to have to really monitor, because we've certainly watched them pop up in different states, and in some of the early marriage equality states that happened legislatively, we had, we watched some of those compromises happen. We saw it in Minnesota, and we saw it in, trying to think of Hawaii as another place where they wrote exemptions into these laws, and you know, it's horrible to write discrimination in our laws at the same time that we're moving forward, advancing equality and freedom. And so that's going to be the work, I believe, of all of our organizations, whether gay or straight, you know, that are progressive in the years ahead.
Well, and as you said, I mean, there's this ripple effect, right? I mean, the same, also this week we heard of Florida, which does not have marriage equality and has had their own battle with LGBT rights, you know, from adoption laws, you know, which got a lot of public attention and, you know, in the last decade, and now with marriage. But, you know, this week they had the first ever same-sex couple whose marriage is being respected by the state on a death certificate, you know, and that's a huge thing, you know, for a couple who'd almost been together half a century. And, you know, so I even think those small acknowledgments are, you know, changing this huge fabric of this quilt that's being made.
I think you're right. And interestingly, it started in Chicago with friends of ours, you know, Vernita Gray and Pat Ewart. And I think that was the first time that that the federal court had allowed a marriage to happen. And again, it, you know, when it comes down to it, these judges are human beings. And so they're going to be affected by the same stories that move all of us. And when you see someone that, you know, they're at the end of their life, and you know, for Vernita, who we knew well, that she, it wasn't even just about protection and just about taking care of Pat. It was about that knowledge of knowing that you're married and that you're, and you know, and it was sad, like, to see in some ways the case where, even though the death certificate was honored, that, you know, that gentleman never had a chance to know that he had protected his family and that his marriage ultimately was going to be recognized.
Right.
And, you know, we should all have that ability when we're alive and able to enjoy it and understand it, that we're able to get married, because that's part of the institution, if not the part of the institution as well. So
yeah.
It's those stories, and that's what's sort of weird in our work, I think, is we take some of these incredibly painful lives and stories that people have, and they allow us to use them to make change for thousands, if not millions, of others. And we owe a great debt to all those people.
Yeah. Well, it's totally true. And we're continuing. This is going to be a campaign. I think you said it maybe even a couple of years ago when you were on, you know, this is a campaign of real people and faces and, not laws and just words. And, I think that message has just become more and more obvious as time's gone by, and we get to hear more and more of the stories of lives impacted, like the ones you were just speaking of. So how do people keep up with this? I mean, how can people support the work that still needs to be done, and how can people keep current on the ever changing landscape?
Because it's different every day.
Yes.
I would encourage them to go to our website, lambdalegal.org, and the left column of that webpage links to all of the marriage information, and then also has a state-by-state map so you can specifically see where your state is at. And then there's also on Facebook, if you like us, we always do the updates on, of course, Facebook and Twitter as well. So either following or liking us in that way, you'll at least get the announcements as they come. But it's changing very quickly. And so we're staying on top of it.
Well, we appreciate that you're there on the front lines, Jim, and all of your team and everyone at Lambda Legal and all the other organizations fighting for marriage equality. Thank you so much, and maybe we'll have another update here in a month or so, because it's changing that quickly. So
I'm confident it'll be very different in a month.
I'm confident it will be too, and then hopefully we can speak again.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much, Jim.
All right, bye. Take care.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everyone, I don't know. By the time we are to you next week, we may have many more states that have joined the right side of marriage equality here in the United States. I want to thank Jim Bennett for being with me. Think about what you can do to help advance marriage equality. If it's just continuing to post on your Facebook, your excitement around the new states where people can now line up and get married, or if it's about making a donation. All of these things are helpful because it's happening and we have momentum, and let's keep the momentum going. Have a great week, everyone. Mitchell Fain on the podcast next week. We talk to him about when did he know? Oh, we're so glad he's one of us, but when did he know? Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.